Let's start with the story that has the most immediate potential for global disruption: the ongoing U.S.-Iran military exchanges and what they mean for the Persian Gulf. To set the scene for listeners who may be catching up, Trump said this weekend that the Strait of Hormuz is open to traffic. He also said a permanent deal is very possible and called it one of the great deals he could make. At the same time, Qatar, which hosts the massive Al Udeid Air Base, the largest U.S. military installation in the Middle East, has suspended all maritime navigation. Those two statements don't coexist comfortably.
The Qatar maritime suspension is the detail I'd anchor to, Marcus, because Qatar isn't making symbolic gestures here. This is an economy deeply tied to LNG exports. They don't suspend navigation unless the threat calculus is genuinely alarming. The fact that they're willing to absorb that economic self-harm tells you how they're reading the regional risk right now. And Saudi Arabia separately denounced Iran's attacks on Gulf states. This is significant because Riyadh and Tehran had been in a diplomatic normalization process for much of the past 2 years, brokered by China back in 2023. That process appears to be in serious jeopardy.
Trump has now set a deadline for an Iran deal, and the context matters enormously. He presented Tehran with a 14-point proposal. Iran is reportedly reviewing it, but simultaneously, an Iranian lawmaker warned publicly that the White House is no longer safe for Trump. That kind of statement from a sitting legislator in Tehran isn't casual rhetoric. It's designed to play to a domestic audience while signaling that hardliners are not on board with any accommodation. The moderates around President Pezeshkian may want a deal. The Revolutionary Guard and parliamentary hardliners emphatically do not.
And then there's the Netanyahu dimension. He's publicly backing Trump's diplomatic approach, which is interesting given that Israel's strategic preference has historically been that Iran never reach any accommodation with the West, that maximum pressure is maintained permanently. Netanyahu's endorsement here likely reflects his calculation that Trump's deal, if it includes verifiable nuclear rollback, is preferable to a prolonged conflict that could escalate in ways Israel can't fully control. But there's a reported rift over nuclear priorities specifically. Israel wants complete dismantlement. Trump may be willing to settle for significant curtailment in exchange for economic relief. That gap is not minor.
There's also the question of what happens if Trump is removed from the picture. Experts are now publicly saying that even though Trump has reportedly left standing orders to bomb Iran in the event of his assassination, no president can actually bind their successor's military decisions. Vice President Vance would make his own call. And Vance, for his part, is already dealing with the fallout from the Charlie Kirk murder case. He called the evidence against the accused killer really compelling over the weekend. That's a notable statement from a sitting vice president about an ongoing criminal case.
To pull this together for listeners, the Strait of Hormuz handles roughly 21 million barrels of oil per day. Even a perceived threat to that corridor, not an actual blockade, just elevated military tension, is enough to move energy markets significantly. Oil prices were already elevated coming into this week. The combination of Qatar's maritime suspension, the Saudi denunciation, and the unresolved U.S.-Iran negotiations creates a risk premium that affects everyone from airlines to plastics manufacturers to anyone with a heating bill. The diplomatic window is real, but so is the possibility of miscalculation.